So please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, 4th chapter. I love to tell the story. I love to tell any story from the Gospel of John. I've had two people tell me. First of all, I've talked to a couple of people who are new Christians, right? New believers, people that have only recently become Christians or maybe are searching in some way. And so I asked them, have you ever read the Bible? And sometimes they say no, or maybe they've read some of the Bible. And then I tell them, have you considered the book of John? Or if you're starting out as a Christian, what do I recommend people start reading? And then I tell them to read the book of John. And both times that's happened recently, I've had people tell me that the words jumped off the page and spoke to me personally. Two different people, two different geographic areas, two different walks of life, said the same thing. So my prayer for us today is that the words that are preached would jump right off the page and minister to you personally. So please stand for the reading of God's word. We're in the 4th chapter of the Gospel of John. I know your bulletin say 28, but we're going to go to verse 30. Now he had to go through Samaria, talking about Jesus. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the 6th hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered in verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered in verse 13, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her in verse 16, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Verse 28, we're almost done. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. I'll tell you, nothing fires me up faster than a story about the power of Christ, the restorative power of Christ, what Christ does, his miracles, what he does, particularly in women's lives, and what happens as a result. But before I get too far into this, have you ever worried that your past would catch up with you? Have you ever worried that something you did when you was a young person would somehow catch up with you when you least expect it? This Samaritan woman had avoided everyone to come draw water in the middle of the day. This was noon down in the Jordan Valley, which is hot. It's hot down there. It's one of the lowest places on earth. It's connected to the Dead Sea, the lowest place on earth, the hottest place on earth. So drawing water in the middle of the day meant that she wanted to avoid everybody so that she wouldn't have to live with her consequences. But this Samaritan woman had no idea that her life story was about to be brought home to her by the most unlikely of people, a Jewish man. So I'm going to take a few minutes to break this down, and by the end of this short homily, hopefully this is no more than 15 or minutes or so, you'll get the main idea, but I'm not going to feed it to you early. I want you to listen to the story and let it come to you. So in verses 4 to 6, we see that Jesus was on his way north from Judea into Galilee. Now, Judea is not where Jerusalem is at. Jerusalem is actually in the land of Benjamin. Judea was like the desert part. So if you go down from Jerusalem towards the Jordan River Valley, they're in Judea. And he is headed there towards Galilee. Now, there's a road right now that parallels the Jordan River Valley, and I've driven on that road a couple times. Beautiful country. But it's a lot to ask for someone to walk all the way there. Anyway, he's on his way north, and he stops at this place near Mount Ebal, which used to be near Shechem, which is called Sychar, and to have this drink at this well. I've had a drink at that well also. It's still there to this day. So we see that that's kind of the setting. Jesus is tired, and he's at this well, and along comes this woman. In verses 7 through 9, he asks this Samaritan lady for a drink. He was probably fairly direct with this lady, just give me a glass of water. This isn't the first time in the Bible that a man has gone to a well to have a meeting with a woman. Eleazar, who was the servant of Abraham, he was at the well. He asked the Lord, whoever lady comes to ask me for or to offer me a drink, that'll be the one for Isaac. And sure enough, Rebecca comes along, and that's that story. The rabbis of old say that Moses, who was married to Zipporah, met her at a well. But Jesus, on the other hand, was not out hunting for a wife. He was hunting for souls to redeem. So this woman, how did she know that Jesus was a Jew? Well, Chrysostom thought that he was probably dressed like a Jew, and his accent was like a Jew. And so that's how she knew that he was a Jew. But it's not kosher for Jews and Samaritans to share drinking cups. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. But they had no dealings. No, they didn't share utensils. They didn't share drinking cups. They didn't share anything at all. And I'll explain why in just a minute. Jesus responds in verse 10, if you knew who was talking to you right now, you'd be asking him for water. You'd be asking him for living water. This idea of living water comes from this well. The water is alive in a well. I'll tell you a funny story. I think last winter, I left the garden. So we have a garden hose inside the garage for when I drive the truck in and wash off all the snow. And I ignorantly, stupidly left the water running all night long, hot water. But the next morning, I still had hot water, still had well water. The Lord looked after me that night. But living water comes out of a well. And so, but Jesus, he knows her spiritual condition. He knows what's really going on with this lady. He knows the spiritual condition of that town that she lived in as well. He knew what they really thirsted for. And God knows what you thirst for. The woman in verses 11 and 12, she wasn't really dialed into Christ's metaphors yet. Christ, he taught with parables, he taught with metaphors a lot. And so Jesus is kind of, you know, jockeying for position to change this woman's life, but she's not really dialed in yet. So she asked, how can she provide water from a well? I mean, he doesn't have anything to draw water with. And then she goes on to talk about how Jacob is the one who gave this water. So what's the connection here? The Samaritans were people from the tribe of Ephraim and the tribe of Manasseh, and those were sons of Joseph, who was son of Jacob. Jacob drew this well, or created this well, and gave it to Joseph, who gave it to Ephraim and Manasseh, and their descendants came into the land of Israel with Joshua. We were talking about Joshua at some point, but Joshua was the person who took the children of Israel into the promised land, and from there, after that, the tribes, they kept going, they got into idolatry, and the 10 tribes of the north, they were taken over by the Assyrians. In their place, the Assyrians planted other people, Assyrian people, who did not know the ways of the Lord, and they started getting killed by lions and other things. And so the Assyrians, they pulled some Jewish people into their midst to teach them about the ways of the Lord. And then the Jews and Assyrians together became a people called the Samaritans. And because of that intermixing, they were rejected from the Jewish people that still remained in the land. That animosity, that racism, stuck there over the centuries, all the way up until Jesus' time. So that's the reason why there's that separation there. I'm sure you and I can kind of get an idea of what's going on there. There's certainly racism in this country today, or classism, or sexism, or any other kind of ism out there. I mean, whatever difference you think you have with somebody else that keeps you from connecting with them, that was what was going on here between the Jews and the Samaritans. So Jesus' reply, he in verses 13 through 14 said that, you know, people that drink of this well that she's talking about, that she's referring to, will be thirsty again. But everyone who drank of the water that Jesus was talking about, the living water, the water that he was giving, which is what, church? What is the living water that Jesus gives? The Word of God, salvation. That's your salvation, is that water, that sustaining, that forever sustaining water inside of you is your salvation. Everyone who drank of this water Jesus is talking about would experience this spiritual water welling up inside of them every day. And we see that in verse 15, that this woman is immediately interested. She's all about it. Okay, I'm dialed in. I want this water that you have for me. And Jesus nonchalantly says, well, go grab your husband and come back, and we'll talk about it. And so at this point, this lady is Jesus says to her, or the woman says, I don't have a husband. I'm good. And Jesus is like, well, you've had 5 husbands, and now they're gone, and the man you're with now is not your husband. And that you said the truth. Jesus' love for this woman can't be overstated. Before he confronted her with that, he offered her eternal life. And that's one of the main points here, is that the love that the Lord has for you is greater than anything going on in your life. It's greater than any sin in your life. It's greater than any mistake that you've made. Jesus' love for this woman, and soon we'll see the entire Samaritan town, was far and away greater than the sin that they had. God knows your sin, and he loves you more than that. But he doesn't wink at it, is what we're about to see. In verse 20, we see that this woman experiences shock and amazement. She's amazed. And she correctly discerns that this prophetic office that Jesus is operating in, calls him a Navi, a prophet. But she realizes that she's going to push back on Jesus. Yes, he knows about her past, but she's going to push back because she's been used and abused before. People that have struggled through relationships like that will know what I'm talking about. She's been used and abused before. Dr. Liam Gallagher, 10th Presbyterian in Philadelphia, he talked about this lady in our classes in seminary. He's telling me that this woman, in that first century time in Samaria, she didn't have the ability to marry and get divorced 5 different times. What had likely happened was that she had been used and abused by 5 different women. would be taken and used for what they could get out of her, and would discard her. So she was discarded by five different men, and finally quit and just is cohabitating with another guy. But Jesus knew that. He knew that, and he loved her anyway. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life, as bad as you might think it is, or maybe you're online and you're watching us and you just happen to find us today. Whatever's happening in your life is nothing compared to the love that God has for you. Whatever is going on in your life is nothing compared to the power of God's love for you. She pushes back on Jesus. The water, living or otherwise, is all but forgotten. She says, our fathers worship the Lord here. This was near Mount Ebal. If you recall from your reading of the first five books of the Bible in Deuteronomy, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim were the places where the blessings and the cursings of the law were passed down on the nation of Israel. And so the Samaritans had built a temple on Mount Ebal, which, by the way, was where the curses were pronounced. So they had camped out in front of God, thinking that was just curses, was all they could look forward to. Her point might have been, how do I connect with men? And they were, and again, they were Samaritans. They had no connection with Jews. They couldn't be anywhere near Jews. They couldn't worship where the Jews worship. Her point was then, how do I connect with the Lord in Jerusalem, who's obviously real, or you wouldn't have known about my life? How can I go to Jerusalem when I'm not even supposed to be around you people? How can I worship with you? But in verses 21 to 24, Jesus assures her that a time is coming, and now is, and it's here today, that true worshipers, Jew, Gentile, black, white, whether you are gay or straight, black or white, no matter what your plumbing happens to be, we are all brought into this world in the worst possible sin. And were it not for the love of Christ, were it not for his compassion, were it not for the living water that we have, that he has for us, we would all, no matter who we are, be thirsty and dying in our thirst. Are you tracking me, church? But she has one more argument, verse 25, one more bullet. She confesses her belief that when Messiah comes, he will make everything right. Yeah, you're saying some really great stuff, Jesus, and I got it. You know about my past. But we know that when Messiah comes, he's going to make everything right. Jesus said to her, I who am speaking to you am he. Her faith was rewarded right there. All of her sin, all the time she was discarded, she was told about her story from someone who could not have known about her story. Have you ever had somebody come to you in your life and tell you about yourself that they couldn't have known? Anybody ever experienced that? I have. Not because I'm super Christian, not because I'm a minister. I was in the worst possible shape in my life, and I've had people come to me and encourage me in the Lord. He's real, I tell you that. The one who had living water for her, the one who knew her past and loved her anyway, was the very Messiah that had long proclaimed among these people that the Lord, that they had been rejected because of idols. They had been rejected by God's people, the Jews, ever since. These were the people that happened before the Samaritans, but from whom the Samaritans came. At this point, the woman drops her jar and heads into town to tell everyone what's happened. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine your past story, your story being told to you by some random Jew who just happens to come to a well, who turns out to be this prophet, who turns out to be this Messiah? Can you imagine him coming to you and telling you about your story, but not in a hateful way? You see that? Jesus didn't come to her and just start pounding her about her lifestyle and then tell her about the gospel. That's the problem with I don't know if I'm running out of time. I'm working on it. But listen. Jesus, Christians get this wrong, and Jesus is right about this. Christians get this wrong. You've got to be the kind of Christian I am, or I'm not going to fellowship with you. You've got to be the Christian I am, or you're those people. You're Samaritans, and I'm the Jew. Do you understand? I'm probably getting some people mad, but I'm going to preach to you the truth. Jesus is the one who comes to people first and says, I love you. I have living water for you. Doesn't ask what her zip code is, doesn't ask what her bank account is, doesn't ask about the lifestyle that she lives, doesn't ask about the choices that she made, doesn't ask who she voted for, doesn't ask what political party she's registered with, doesn't ask her if she's on Facebook, doesn't ask her what her social media account is, doesn't ask her anything like that, just says, I have water for you. If you knew the person who asked you for water, you would ask me for water, and I would give you water. And then the Lord reveals to her her sin. The Lord loves you, but he's not going to let you stay where you're at. And if you think, church, that because you wear certain clothes, you live in a certain part of town, you have so much money in your bank account, you have a certain circle of friends, if you think that you're not thirsty right now for what the Lord has for you, then your brain is not dialed into the reality of the spiritual world. She was dialed in. She goes to her people, drops her jar, forgets all about the water, goes to her people and tells them, this man told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Do you have the courage to go up to somebody, some random person on the street, and tell them, God saved me from my life of sin? I think Pastor Hamer used to get Miss Jerry and would go out and do that very thing. We need to get back to that. And if anybody has courage to go out with me and pass out tracts, you just let me know. I'm ready to go anytime. But if you've been paying attention to this narrative, perhaps you have thirst that only Christ can fill. Main idea here is that Jesus has everything that we're thirsty for. We need only to drink. Amen? Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, honor, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.